So, question for you. Are you a wantographer? Do you know what a wantographer is? Do you think that you could be a wantographer? Are you worried that this term might describe you and your business? Have you ever even looked into that term? Do you know what it means? Well, guess what? If you haven't done it, I have, and let's get into it today on the Focal Points podcast. Do you struggle with all things you need to run your photography business on the day-to-day? You're not alone, and you're in the right place. You're listening to Focal Points. We're an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell, and we are here to help you create a business that you love. So what is a wantographer? Now, I'm going to be really, really honest with you. I thought I made this term up when watching a TikTok by someone who was talking about someone being a wantrepreneur. That is someone who wants to build a business, but they never really get around to it. And they were talking about action and ideas and that type of thing. And it was such an interesting idea and TikTok that I saved it. And I'm going to talk about it in later episodes because I think it's a really important conversation to have of what defines an actual entrepreneur. What are the actions that entrepreneurs take? But that's not the topic for this episode. So I'm like, oh, a wantrepreneur. I bet you there's people out there who are wantographers. So what is a wantographer? And I kind of applied the same idea that the person on the TikTok was using when it came to business, someone who wants to start a business, into someone who wants to be a photographer, right? So a wantographer. But guess what? When I went to Google it, that's an actual real term. And it maybe not be something that is defined in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It very may well be because I didn't go that far in my research. True confessions there. But it actually came up when I Googled it, and I was able to do some research on it, and I found it very, very interesting, because if you think of the term wantographer, just like you think of the term momtographer, right, those can kind of be looked at in our industry as being something that's very derogatory. A wantographer is kind of a cliquish term, something that's very casual, and it's also often used within our industry, in photography circles, and it describes someone who is very enthusiastic about photography, but they're new and they lack professional skills or experience. Basically, that's it. Someone who's new is very passionate about photography, right? But they just don't have any experience or professional skills. And it's usually, you know, a term that's used in a lighthearted or humorous way. And it's not necessarily negative, but we could certainly interpret it as being negative if we found that people were talking about us in that way. Of course, our brain would go automatically to the negative. But it characterizes people who have a strong desire or want to be a photographer, but they're just not there yet. They're really early in the stages of learning how to be a photographer. So ultimately, a wantographer is often seen as an amateur or a hobbyist who is very passionate about photography and is in the process of developing their skills. Does this sound familiar to anyone? The term reflects the journey of many photographers who start as enthusiasts and gradually improve their techniques and understanding of photography over time. So even though we might think at first glance that this is a derogatory term, but the fact is, we all started out as wantographers. We all had the passion and the traits that are used in this term as this term is defined. So if you are a wantographer, don't think of it in a negative way. I was a wantographer. I bet you were too, or you are one now. And that is totally, totally okay. So in doing a bit of research, and yes, you can, like I said, research this term, you know, it's agreed that wantographers are photographers who are very enthusiastic about photography and they just don't have the experience, right? We've covered that already. They're just new. They're the newbies, right? And we think of that negatively when it applies to us. But when you're in the middle of just learning photography, do you remember how passionate you were? Do you remember how excited you were to get your first camera and learn everything and scour the Facebook groups and the online forums and get all the education and watch all the YouTube videos? Because you were just so excited about this new thing that you had in your hand and you wanted to learn how to use it. That's really a wantographer. So it's great. And I remember very, very vividly being in this phase, even though it was 15 years ago. I remember getting my first DSLR. I remember holding it in my hands, being totally excited to see what it could do. And I remember, you know, going on the online forums, YouTubes, and all that type of thing. And it was just so very exciting. And I still see that in people today. It's like when I go and I see posts in Facebook groups and I see people asking questions, and it's very obvious they don't know what they are doing and they don't know what they are asking, but I love the fact that they're putting themselves out there to ask the question so that they can get better, so that someday they'll look back and realize, oh, I really shouldn't have been asking that question publicly. What was I doing? But you can see your growth in that. And that's what's so, so awesome. So photographers, they're new and they're still learning the basics. And I was new once, you were too. But one thing that I see in photographers, there's a few things that really, really stick out like glaring red thumbs of people who are new, right? And one of those things is the fact, I know that you scroll through your Facebook posts and your Facebook groups, and you see people who are new and saying, I'm shooting at the golden hour, 1 hour before sunset, a family of five in this setting. What setting should I use for my camera? This is the camera that I have. What setting should I use? And we know, those of us who are established, that is such a photographer question. That is such a new question. It's someone who just hasn't been there yet, because we know we can't answer that question for them, right? That's something that they have to understand for themselves. Now, it kind of makes me cringe when I know that these people are taking on paying clients when they don't know the very basics of their camera and how to get a decent exposure from their camera, and they're asking these types of questions. But honestly, we all start somewhere, and guess what? If the session bombs, they're going to learn so, so much that won't happen next time. And photographers also put a lot of emphasis on gear. So do you really, really think that it's your camera that takes the beautiful picture? Or is it the person behind the camera, operating the camera, that takes the beautiful picture? And I remember my new camera, I treated it so carefully, so gingerly, barely even tapped the table when I put it down. It was always in its protective case. Didn't want anything to touch it. It was always clean and beautiful and pristine. 15 years later, my cameras get beat up. They are totally beat up. And I always kind of chuckle. If you watch YouTube, which I know most of you do, being the largest search engine, and you are a fan of Casey Neistat. Casey Neistat is a filmmaker who was in New York, then he moved to California, now he's back in New York, and he rides his hover, his boosted board around, and he documents his day and he tells stories through his films. And the first time I watched him open up a brand new Sony camera on one of his YouTube videos, my heart was literally palpitating. He was so rough and it just got kind of batted around and dropped on the desk and all these types of things. And I'm like, he is going to break that camera. But the reason that you could tell the difference in how I treat my equipment now to how I treated it then is just the evolution of time and how I've grown as a business person. My camera used to be very, very precious to me. It was an expensive piece of equipment. I needed to treat it very, very carefully. And now I look at it as a tool. And guess what? Tools get beat up. Tools get scratched. And the more scratched up it is, the better it is, because it means I'm using it for good. And Casey Neistat, if you want to watch someone beat up some cameras, you need to watch his videos. Besides him just being a very, very entertaining storyteller when it comes to his YouTube videos, he has a huge channel. You won't have to search very high and low to find his channel. It's just very entertaining if you watch him in his office and how he beats things up. He's ruthless when it comes to how he treats his equipment, and it all still works fine. But when you're new in the game, man, you are not taking a risk. You are going to wrap it and protect it and all of those things, when really the cameras that we have now, we don't have to do it with. So photographers also, I think the biggest thing that I see when it comes to people who are new in the business is they don't know how to run businesses, because none of us get into this game to run a business. We are always thinking about, we want to take pretty pictures, we want to make our clients happy, we want to provide them with beautiful images, and we don't think about pricing, insurance, and all those other things. So when you're newer in the game, you just don't have that wherewithal of thinking like, oh, if I stay with this a while, I'm going to have to save for retirement on my own because no one else is doing it. I'm going to have to save so I can take a vacation. I'm going to have to pay for my own health insurance. I'm going to have to collect taxes and pay taxes and probably hire a bookkeeper, and I'm going to have to invoice people, and I might have to chase a few people down for payment, and I'm going to have to develop a workflow and all those different things. I don't know any photographer, especially new photographers that coach with me, who have put that much thought into starting a business, because most of them have never done it before. When I started my photography business, I had already started a voice studio. And I also watched my father, who was an entrepreneur growing up, and all the things that he dealt with as being the person in charge and the company owner. So I had a little bit of an idea of what this journey into entrepreneurship meant, right? But many people don't have that example. It was a great gift that my dad had that example for me, and I could kind of see it and watch it in action as I was growing up. But it didn't prepare me for everything, because I wasn't in on the ground floor with everything. But so here's the thing. We all know what a wantographer is, right? How do you move on to the next step? If you're feeling like, oh my gosh, Dory, you are totally describing me. I love my camera. I treat it with kid gloves. I don't know all my settings all the time. I don't know how to get consistent results. I maybe overuse editing and effects. I rely too much on Photoshop because I'm not getting it right in camera. I'm posting all the time on social media because I'm just so, so, so excited. I want to improve and become the best that I can be. I'm willing to experiment because I really, really haven't found my unique style and niche yet. And everywhere I go, I have my camera and I will take my pictures of everything. If I just described you, you're probably a wantographer. Congratulations. Good for you. Now, how do we take that passion and that excitement and transition it into an actual business that can help you? I'm so glad you asked. Let's talk about that after this word from our fabulous sponsor, Enphoto. As photographers, we know that the presentation of our work is just as important as the photos themselves. And that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with Enphoto and so thankful for their sponsorship of this podcast. They make beautiful handcrafted albums and they're perfect for showcasing your stunning images. And now, as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount off your first sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Don't settle for generic photo albums. Visit Enphoto Lab and focalpointspodcast.com. And start showing off your work in a beautiful, beautiful way. Make sure you take advantage of that sample offer from Enphoto, because I don't think it's going to be being offered too much longer. Word on the street is that they're going to be switching some things up, and I can't wait to share those with you. But before the break, I talked to you about what a wantographer was and all those different things that describe us as we're new in getting our cameras and new in getting into photography. And all those things are so great. And if there's one thing that I want to put out in the world when it comes to this podcast, is I want to lift the curtain and get rid of some of the shame and everything else that goes with ideas when you're a new photographer and you just don't know better, right? You're not always going to be so passionate about your camera that you want to put it under your pillow and sleep with it at night. And you wipe off all the fingerprints and everything and keep it in its protective box. You're going to grow and you're going to evolve, which is fabulous. But what are the things that you need to look out for when you're stuck in this really passionate, it's almost like falling in love, right? You're falling in love with the idea of photography and capturing the world around you. But then it needs to grow and evolve and mature, just like love does. I remember with my husband when we were first together 23 years ago, right? And how we wanted to be with each other all the time. I kind of say that, like, at some point in time when we started dating, I kind of looked at him and said, I'm like, dude, like, I really enjoy being with you, but I need a couple days on my own because I need to get my laundry done and I need to get my grocery shopping done. You know, when you're neglecting everything else and all of a sudden you're like, okay, he's not going to leave. He's sticking around. I can probably take a day or two off and get the basics taken care of and the fundamentals in my life taken care of. And that's kind of what happens when you're moving from being a wantographer into being a more mature professional photographer. So what are those things? What is the laundry that you need to do when it comes? First of all, you need to master the basics of the photography itself. You can't be risking what you're doing with paid clients. You don't practice on paid clients. So you need to master the basics with your camera, know its limitations, know what it can do, what it can't do, what you want to do with it, what you don't want to do with it. And all of those things come with a little bit of time of working with it, really practicing a lot, and you will find all of a sudden you'll take a picture that will make your heart sing. And you will say, that's what I want to do as a photographer. And then once you take those pictures that make your heart sing, you're going to shed a lot of the doubt, a lot of the questions that you had, because you're going to be focusing on just one type of thing. We all cannot be great landscape and boudoir and wedding and portrait and branding photographers. That just doesn't work. You will find something in your heart that you are going to love. For a time being, I had newborns and families for a while. And then 10 years later, I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. I needed to look to do something else. But as you grow and mature as a photographer, you're going to start to define some of these things. Now, wantographers, what they do a lot of times is they invest their time in free education. They spend a lot of time on YouTube, a lot of time on free Facebook groups. And you can, you know, the free PDFs that all the educators throw out there, even if those educators have really only been in business for like 2 or 3 years, which I see those things and I'm like, okay, if that's where our industry wants to go, that's fine. But you can learn something from everybody when you're new, and you need to be careful where you're learning from. But when you're new, you don't know that. So you just take in all this information and it's great. So as you grow and evolve, you're going to realize, oh, I don't need that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't need to learn how to do studio lighting if I only want to be a fabulous natural light photographer. Or I don't want to worry about the sun and the rain and the weather, so I want to become a great studio photographer. And all of those things kind of evolve with time. But you start to realize that you kind of hit a wall with some of the education that you've been in, and you need to invest and pay a professional to coach you and find out the spots in your business that you need to really, really be working on and the things that are stopping you from growth. Because many times, in fact, most of the time, we can't see our own blind spots. And once you move from wantography into photography and you've grown enough, you realize, wait a minute, something's not working here. I really need someone to help me point out the areas that I'm missing, because we all miss areas in our business. And that's where a coach or mentor comes into play. But when you're transitioning from wantography into photography, you start realizing that you need to start doing things in a little bit more professional way, whether it comes to pricing in a professional manner, how you market your business, your website. All of those things need to be up-leveled so they don't look like they're quote unquote homegrown. And your images don't look homegrown. Your images don't look like something that anybody could go out and shoot. Your editing becomes more refined. Your images just become better. You develop that unique style, and you've built a portfolio of that style that you want to put out into the world and hopefully find people that want to hire you for that style. There's a lot of different things that as you're transitioning, it's a journey. It doesn't all happen all at one time. But when you're moving from being a new wantographer into an established photographer, these are the things that you need to be looking out for. You're going to gain real world experience. You're going to need to market in a more professional way and build connections. You're going to be open to feedback, because I know one thing that I learned in singing school was that getting feedback was one of the most beneficial things and one of the most horrible things. Just like I say, the thing about being in business for myself is I love the flexibility. And the flexibility is such an awesome, awesome thing, but it can also be the biggest curse. And getting feedback about your work can be the best thing, because you will learn so much from getting feedback, but it can also sting sometimes. And you have to be ready to put yourself out there to get that. Don't always rely. You get to a point in your journey where you mature enough and you realize, I probably can't always rely on my friends and family to give me the feedback that I want for my images. But once you start entering image competitions or you're doing anything like that, and someone says, oh, you know, you probably shouldn't have the horizon line cutting through their neck like that, because it looks like they're going to be decapitated. You wouldn't want to do that. Change the angle that you're shooting so that you don't have it going straight through their head. I promise you, once someone points that out about one of your images, you can never unsee it. You just can't. And you will be working that horizon line all the time, because you don't want people to look like it goes straight through their head. Sometimes you can't avoid it though. I had a session a couple weeks ago where it didn't matter what I did. I just could not get the horizon line away from this guy's neck, and it was what it was. And he didn't notice, but it killed me inside. It absolutely killed me inside. So as you're going from that new phase and maturing into an established photographer, we've talked about building your portfolio, developing your unique style, investing in good education, mastering the basics. The really thing that defines who's going to make it and who's not going to make it, because that's what this is all about. If we want to wrap this up in a nice little bow, being a wantographer is great, but eventually you need to grow into the professional photographer, because if you don't, you're never going to be able to form a business, and you need to keep striving to get better. But many of the things that we spend our time on because we're so excited about are not the things that are going to really move the needle when it comes to running a business. So professional photographers know that you need to have a product line. You need to have beautiful products that you can offer your clients, like Enphoto products, that can make you and your work look great. You want to have a partner in a lab that can really make you look awesome. You need to have business practices that are consistent and good. Some people don't have good business practices. I know that sounds really, really basic, but you need to have good business practices. You need to be able to market your business. You need to be open to feedback. Like I said, you need to be able to solve problems, sometimes very quickly if you're in front of clients, and you need to have your business set up legally. All of those things happen when you move from this wantographer into the professional photographer, but they don't all happen at once. In fact, it's kind of a hodgepodge of things where, you know, one month you might be working on mastering the basics, and another month you might be really working on building that portfolio and finding people for your portfolio. And then another month you really want to work on post-processing. And another 2 months you really dive into the business. And business is something that it never ends, but to really kind of get your brain around it, you take some time to work on your business. And then you're like, okay, I've done all these things. I'm ready to go. I really need to get some feedback on my images because I'm not getting the bookings that I want. Is it my images? Is it my marketing? And everybody starts with the images. It's usually not your images. But all of these things that you need to do to travel that road from being the new photographer into the mature photographer don't all happen at one time. And many of us get so overwhelmed when it comes to all the things that we need to do in our business. And I just want to be here to say, it's okay. This all doesn't happen at one time. And give yourself some grace when it comes to the journey, because it's frustrating. It's not all just straight. You're going to have things that work, things that don't work. You're going to have to backtrack on things. You're going to make mistakes. And all of that is just part of the journey. So I say all this and I talk about this just because I want y'all to know, if you're in the wantographer phase, congratulations. Welcome to the world of photography, but know that you're going to grow and you're not going to be there forever. Get help where you can. I'm absolutely here as a mentor and a coach. If you need to reach out with me, I would be happy, happy to help you. You can find me on DoriHowell.com or on Instagram at TheDoriHowell. But there are people out here who can help you and help make that journey quicker and smoother for you. But if you're doing it all on your own like I did, it's okay. You're going to get there. Don't become discouraged. Photography is one of the best industries that you can be a part of, and I am glad that you are here. Thank you so much for listening to this Focal Points podcast. And thank you so much to our sponsor, Enphoto. I'm proud to offer Enphoto products to my clients. They love them. And I know your clients will love them too. Be sure and join us next week. And we will see you next time on the Focal Points podcast. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.